right, so I guess we can get started. I'll call the meeting to order and we can do a roll call. Greg Coffin.
Here.
Cody Darr.
Here.
Katrina Bowles.
Here.
John Conway.
Here.
Kim Krause.
Here.
Tony Grove is not here. Tracy Griever Rice, I'm here. And I'm not sure I remember to do this last time. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Bill Whitecamper.
And Jan Hedrick's here.
I gotta get the full list on.
I wasn't supposed to be here, so.
I knew you weren't. There we go. Oh, I'm glad that you were able to make it. So, Jen Hedrick.
Here.
Okay. All right. First thing we need to do is approve the agenda. So, if anyone has any comments or revisions, please let me know.
Motion to approve, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. John motioned and Cody seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you. And then we need to do an approval of the minutes from the June 15th meeting. Have folks had a chance to review that?
It says that Chris Kelly was present.
They're the wrong minutes.
Is that the wrong minutes?
I think I noticed that. I'm opening it up again now. The ones that she sent by the email, I think, were...
The ones via email were the correct ones, and the ones that are attached,
linked
into the agenda, are incorrect. I think they're from May, or they're from earlier in the year. So, if we could... But it does say Chris Kelly on here, which is not correct. So that is a revision. Are there other revisions related to the actual narrative on page 2? And the other thing I did notice that in the linked agenda that has that she distributed before the meeting that does have Mr. Kelly in it, the draft minutes that it attaches to are not the final version. So I do want to make sure those were corrected.
Are you saying that it should be considered the final one?
I believe we've looked at these 5:17 minutes a couple different times. They're the ones where Sid Sullivan's name is incorrect on it, and I thought we'd made those corrections and approved it.
Yeah.
But they still show up incorrectly on this version that's in here. So I will work to see if I can get that fixed. It might just be an incorrect attachment. But are there any comments on the narrative on the June 15 minutes starting on page 2?
I didn't know if it was intentional, but towards the bottom of page 2, it says discussion by task force of sewer infrastructure issues to develop recommendations for
blank.
Yeah, and there's nothing following that. I didn't know
okay.
if that was just.
Yep.
I didn't know if that was intentional.
Okay, so we've got a couple corrections on this. Anything else? So procedurally, can we approve these with the recommended changes as corrected? Okay. So with those two changes noted.
I'll make a motion that we approve the June 15th minutes with those corrections.
Thank you, Kim.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Okay. Old business. Well, before we start on the street recommendations draft, and this will tie in a little bit in our new business discussion regarding the email communication, but I was informed today by the city attorney that the instruction we were given last week regarding disregarding the final meeting in May were incorrect, and that the minutes from that meeting and the work product were a meeting, and they've been posted to the website. The recording of our work was posted to the website already. They're working on a set of minutes that we'll look at probably at our next meeting. I hope we're through the clarification process around those issues. But the good news is it means we get to consider the work that we did that night as work that has been completed and recorded, and we can use that to inform finishing up our discussion tonight. So, if you have any questions or want to discuss that decision, I'm glad to do that, and then we should talk about the actual street recommendations draft.
A minor clarification, what about the minutes for last week?
That's what we were just discussing. The 6:15 meeting.
Okay.
Minutes.
And do the minute for the 26th next time?
Yes.
Okay.
I apologize.
That meeting was recorded, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
That was in here and it was recorded, and they're working on the minutes for it.
Sunshine law stuff. I just
had
one quick clarification.
Sure. I've got it down under new business.
Oh, you did. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm going to ask it now anyway.
It's fine with me.
the emails that we get, like the ones we got today from John, nobody replies.
Right.
And then Carol takes care of she's the custodian, so
right.
She'll handle that. We just don't reply to anybody.
Well, you don't reply to everybody.
You don't reply to everybody. I actually will ask her about whether or not we can reply as an individual to the person sending the email. In terms of speaking with counsel, I've understood it that if you send something to all counsel, you can't expect a reply because that would be a meeting. But so if you want to send to less than a quorum, or you can blind copy people, just as a citizen. But I'm assuming that applies to these groups too, based on the state statute that was shared with me today.
Oh, okay. So if you want a reply. But you send an email
to everybody, then you probably won't get
one.
Shouldn't.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. So I guess the short answer is probably if something comes to all of us as a group, we shouldn't reply.
Because that would constitute a meeting once you start a dialogue.
Right. Because once you start a dialogue, you've started a meeting. That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I understand it. I don't know if it makes sense.
I've sent emails to all the council before and got a reply from one council member just to me. Right or wrong.
Right, okay. All right. Well, I can check on that, but until we have all these things completely clarified, I would encourage people to...
If we have documentations for the group to share with the group, we mm-hmm. said to the whole group, we said to you, did Carol to
redistribute it, right.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. The correct way to do it, mm-hmm. you and Carol.
Right.
Not to the group.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Now, they did clarify that staff's, and apparently there is some squishiness here, that staff can send out to whoever it wants as a group. It's when you start replying to each other that you've initiated a meeting. So if you see stuff from staff to everybody, that's okay, just don't respond. Is that?
Transparent.
And you won't be offended if we don't respond.
You can start a new one-on-one email, I suspect, but I don't. Yeah. Okay. Is that good, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Okay. Street recommendation draft. I believe we had.
My recollection that we were to the point of further discussion items.
Right.
That's where we had left off.
Yeah.
That's on page.
That's on page six of seven. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And in addition to the 10 through 13 that we have here, I did make a note in this section that I would like to throw out there to consider that reflects Sid Sullivan's comments of that evening regarding coordinating with other political subdivisions and whether or not there was sufficient policy or procedure in terms of doing that. So,
would that be a would that be a global type thing or specific to streets coordinate with other political?
That's a good point, Cody. I guess that is sort of a global issue.
Yeah, I guess you could make it specific to streets and say the CATSO Coordinating Committee and MoDOT and Boone County, or you could leave it generic for like a global recommendation where other municipalities and governmental and quasi-governmental type agencies. Because you would have sewer with like the Boone County Regional Sewer District, and then with stormwater you'd have other municipalities. Did you have specific language, or where you just had a rough idea of that you wanted something to that effect added?
I guess the latter is what I would say, is that we want to make sure that we address that under the...
We need to write something.
Right.
Okay.
We don't need to define what those are. I mean, to me, it'd be Boone, city, state, Those are probably the most likely ones, I would think. Right. Other municipals that are nearby.
So, under further discussion items for 10, all of these are stated as questions. So I'm guessing these were generated out of previous discussions.
I think I originally came up with them. I feel like we talked about 10 and I had some questions and we discussed it, but
okay.
I don't think we actually were going to have a recommendation unless anybody else recalls that there was something specific. I think it was more for our informational purposes of trying to figure out what happens. And I don't know if we actually, now that I think about it, I don't know if we had a definite answer, but I don't remember us coming to any kind of conclusions that something necessarily needed to be done, or that we just didn't come up with anything recommendation.
Yeah, I don't recall we came up with recommendations. I think we wanted to understand the process of how these studies were generated and executed.
Just for information to see if we could
come
to some recommendation that needed to be happened, but I don't think we did.
Seems like it addresses a very different scale of studies. Traffic studies happen around specific development projects, whereas like the Northeast Columbia Area Plan is a long-range planning document.
There is the Northeast Columbia Traffic Study also that covers the same area as the Northeast Columbia Plan, but in general, yes, traffic studies aren't that regional.
Do the longer-range planning studies, are those generated on a cycle, or are they politically generated, or is there any common...
Catskill plan?
Well, Catskill, I'm assuming, has a...
Long range.
Has a long range plan as well as a scheduled process for triggering, updating the study.
Correct.
And it updates annually, right? Mm-hmm. Right.
I would think something like a development or growth study would be evaluated for a region or something. That something would be more... I mean, that seems to me...
We really haven't done anything... Like the Northeast, as a standard practice.
So it's not a regular, so it would be on a as-needed basis.
Yeah.
So what prompted or triggered that?
I think the county was really concerned about some of the things that was happening in the
Right, that was triggered by the scale of the development that was going to happen out there, right?
The school.
And the high school. So I guess one of the issues is that useful to have a policy that sort of triggers that scale of planning.
The scope and the detail of that Northeast traffic study is really good. And it's, you know, takes into account everything. It's more broad than just an individual development going in, but also it was a very expensive study, and I don't know if you could expect like the next person to develop in the northwest part of town to come up with a study like that. So the funding for something like that, or what would trigger something like that, is kind of what I was getting at with that question.
Is what are the triggers?
Yeah, I don't think there are any triggers, but should there be triggers, or since this was done, it's just became a de facto guideline for all development in that area now, when the city didn't have anything to do with commissioning it or anything. It was just done by the county, and now anything is kind of held up to that standard. And
so the city didn't commission it, but it definitely participated in the planning process. By commission, do you mean paid for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the county paid for all of that. Okay. And
but it is development based. I mean, you could see an industry popping up and, you know, major industry coming in and what's going to be road development and utility development. They're going to take the lead on doing that study, but the city would have to participate in that process.
Well, there was a precursor to this Northeast Columbia traffic study, which when the high school came in, they didn't a traffic study, which of course said no improvements were needed, so they didn't improve anything. But, and then later, Boone County was like, we'll do our own, hired the same people that said $24 million worth of improvements need to be made. But
yeah. Which engineer you get, right?
Well, it's the same, it was the same engineer as whoever hired them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the, and another dynamic to that was that the city and county were very anxious to work on how that was going to affect infrastructure out there, and the school district was not as interested in in participating in that process. I mean, it triggered a series of meetings where everybody sort of kumbaya'd, and
the recommendation is that from this group would be that the city participate in studies of this nature to make sure that are in the city's best interest. And so if there's an issue going on within the city limits or just outside the city limits would impact city services and such that they should intervene and participate in that study.
The majority of the area in that study was in the county. Still, the majority is still in the county, but now more and more is getting to be in the city, and it is.
That's why I said recommendation is we recommend that they, which they normally would, but we just confirm that by recommending they pursue participation in those studies.
They were part of, I mean, like you said, you guys participated, you guys traffic engineers looked at it and all that, but I feel like there's a different, and there was a gap between you guys were participating, you guys looked it over, versus it was your study and you had that invested interest in it. And I mean, I don't want to say you guys didn't do a good job or anything. I'm just saying you just naturally, if you guys are paying for it and you guys are the ones that are direct contact with the traffic engineer, you guys would probably have specific concerns that may not have been conveyed as well. I don't know. I don't know.
That seems like that's a clear trigger. Are there times when the city would be the initiator?
Yeah, I think there's been some development pressure out west of town that probably if we'd had a similar study like that, that would help buy out some of the things that would be brought forward in that development. So it's a good idea to maybe work with planning to kind of get ahead of where potential developments are coming and work with them to some of that groundwork.
Is that at all tied into number 5? I don't look through the Columbia Imagine, but or does that address? Yeah, was that addressed in the Columbia Imagine?
I think that that is really good point, Ken. Mm-hmm.
But is that more for road-based issues or all infrastructure?
Probably all.
Yeah. As I was looking at this, and either one, it seems that it will fall under the category of fits with all the infrastructure recommendations, you know, roads, sewers, other utilities.
That's a good point, because really without one, you really don't have the other, or vice versa. So.
Right.
Sure.
Why not make a suggestion? Would that be okay?
No, we'll have public comment at the end.
Well, of course, all this will be decided by them. But that just I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. So, are there other triggers or issues that we might consider? And do we want to move this language that's part of the 10 discussion and address it in 5?
Like Greg was saying, I feel like we need, or we could,
move
morph that
global.
Into a global, you know, yeah. Columbia Imagined is pretty...
Very broad.
Yeah. Versus if we were to make any recommendation specific to area, regional traffic study planning.
I agree. We should keep them in both and keep 10 with a recommendation. I'm just kind of drafting something here, something like city should... to participate in studies which may impact city infrastructure and services, so we should change that to roads and, you know, and thoroughfares. And if needed, city may take the lead in these studies. But the other one, make it global. Because this one, 10, is more related to traffic studies.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I agree. Having one specific to that is good.
I haven't looked at the Northeast Columbia area plan, but is that, I don't know, Cody, when you were looking at that, did you also, I don't know how that plays into or is different from, like, the neighborhood community plans? Like, I went to a meeting last year about the, what is this? This is the West Central Columbia Neighborhood Action Plan? I assume they're different things, but should that also be wrapped into when you're considering development? Do you look at those plans as well?
Is that through initiate? Was that through Neighborhood Services?
Community Development Department.
Okay.
They are similar plans, yeah. And I'm sure there will be a section on, you know, traffic in general. I don't know how specific it will get. But it, like in the Northeast Area Plan, it definitely talks about the traffic, and it has discussion about the CATSO in that area and what's planned in that area. It doesn't go as far as, you know, spreading out future costs and driving it down to a per residence fee and stuff like that. This one, I mean, it kind of is supposed to kind of do the same thing. It's just there are different areas. That's undeveloped area with the Northeast area, and this is a developed area, so they have different challenges and stuff, but mm-hmm. they are supposed to, you know, take the same planning space kind of as guiding documents for development and stuff and plans for a certain area, you know, regional areas. So in that respect, they are kind of the same.
Was it the meeting you went to more just to keep neighborhoods in the loop, like just resident input kind of?
It was a resident input thing. It was a year-long process where they went through and they drafted this plan, and it talked about things from infrastructure and not, it didn't really focus on infrastructure very much. It was much more about, like, the look of the neighborhoods and, you know, like,
public
zoning and some of the other things. I can't remember exactly what all was in it, but I just didn't know if maybe in our recommendations we should make sure that we're global enough in our wording to suggest not just certain kinds of plans.
Right.
If that's where I was trying to.
The Columbia Imagine document, I know, talks about including neighborhoods in their planning.
I think that's kind of what that West Central, I mean, it's kind of the goal to, you know, break this down into certain areas of the city, dive in, see what the specific challenges are for those areas, and come up with some kind of comprehensive document that goes into zoning, infrastructure, also appearance and aesthetics, and anything else that may be of an issue in that certain area of the plan that the planning department would use as a reference.
Right,
and that was brought on. Yeah, there was a general recommendation in the Columbia Imagine Plan to do that.
Should we mention that? Might be rec that we make sure we're including or neighborhood.
Yeah, I think the recommendation should be something along the lines of when a project affects an area, you definitely need to reference any existing plans that cover that area for alignment. But then I think there's another level too, and Columbia has been sort of, driven by circumstance when they do those kind of neighborhood plans. For the West Central Columbia one, you know, they're taking a look over there at low and moderate income housing stock, and mm-hmm. there's been the sewer issues. I mean, there were precipitators to it, mm-hmm. and it's been a while, but several years ago there was a plan done for the Benton Stevens neighborhood, there was a plan done for East Campus that were again sort of driven by changes in development in those areas, and I'm wondering if we should recommend that the city looks at developing an approach to regular regularly looking at neighborhood planning issues.
Well, and I think I would add to that that we make a recommendation that when they're working on those plans that they do consider infrastructure, because one of the things I learned at that meeting was that people were very upset that infrastructure was almost barely mentioned in the document. They didn't talk about it very much, and you know, they were the impression I got was that there were a lot of people who were worried that that wasn't in the plan, if that made sense, in the documents. So maybe there's some pieces of that too.
So adopting standards for what constitutes a long-range planning document?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to get back to that point of, like, Cody, it seemed like in your question it asked how do they have citizen public input, and since it's a big part of, I'm just trying to get back to that question of the public input of it, and I don't know. Sorry, I got lost in my own thoughts there.
I think I understand, kind of. I mean, I see where you're going. I don't know how to word necessarily a recommendation. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about that Northeast Area Traffic Plan that was commissioned and is now kind of the rule in that area. But as far as the thoroughness and the process, I do like that, because everybody's in that area is on a level playing field. It'd be nice if everybody in the city was on a level playing field. But at least that area, they took everything into account. They came up with standards, you know, per residence, per square foot charge they thought it needed to be applied for roads in that area to be built, you know, for the next 30 years. And it, you know, everybody in that area has to do the same thing. And they thought it all through, and that's the way it should be. And it's really nice if it would almost be nice if there was something like that each time they did one of these long-range regional area plans. But
like
they are expensive.
That we have multiple of them, like that we do more comprehensive. Do each area of the city and not just single out a couple of them?
Well, I haven't narrowed down on it, because I don't necessarily like having individual areas having different playing fields, but I think they would probably be similar enough that I'd like that. The problem, I think, would arise when they're outside the city, which when the city's annexing or, you know, future development or whatever, mostly outside. The city's not really going to take on a plan for that area that's outside the city, even though they know in the future, but it's not a problem. It's not what they're looking at right now. So,
right. And I think the other sort of intervening factor is that was a fairly undeveloped area. It's a lot easier to agree up front than to think about how to do that in a redeveloping,
sustainable
area. Mm-hmm.
But I do like the idea of having something more specific for in those regional plans, especially concerning infrastructure.
Other thoughts on 10?
So is somebody turning that in? I know, Greg, you said you
started. I just drafted something in my career real quick. Basically, I said, recommendation? We can discuss it if we need to. But city should participate in studies which may impact city roads and transportation services. If needed, city may take lead in these studies if they create a significant impact on city infrastructure. That's just a recommendation. I mean, just we want to change it. Can.
I think that's fine. I think we need
to... Or rewrite 5 when we do the global.
Keeping them separate, but I think they're kind of both
kind of the same.
Well, I don't know if they're the same.
They're not, because at least I don't see them as the same. One is the city's creating the plans, and then the other one is that they're reference the existing plans. Those to me aren't the same thing.
I should say the first studies, which are directed by others, because it's really that's what the press anticipate. Otherwise, they may need to take the lead and conduct the study themselves.
Number 5 is more specific to development plans that are being submitted by developers, right? And then number 10 is more that the city needs to take some uninitiated, perhaps broad looks at swaths of area for whatever reason, development or redevelopment, or anticipated, whatever.
Right, and I think that's the piece that we might want to think of. I like what we have, but I think the part that we maybe have not fully addressed yet is what is it that would trigger when it was time to do a long-range plan?
I don't know if we could define that in, this group, because that sense that it's based on circumstance, you know. Big industry comes knocking on the door and says, we think we're going to build a factory in your town. That would make trigger, you know, or a school gets built, something of that nature that's on the edge, just outside in the county.
Redevelopment, you know, if we get some sort of grant or something to do some sort of infill redevelopment stuff or something.
They seem to be more circumstantial than planned as far as some of these studies.
Right. I guess I'm sitting here thinking more about projects where that were pretty major in scale where there wasn't a plan triggered, where there wasn't a plan triggered, and is there some way, I'm thinking back to the overall sort of transparency issue or standardization sort of issue, is there any way to recommend norming when these things are worth doing and when they're not?
Columbia, I imagine, might address that. Does anyone know? If not, do you want to look at them and bring it up again next meeting?
That would be great.
Well, I think any big scale is going to trigger a pretty decent traffic study or pretty decent look at all the infrastructure. Currently, that's the way it would happen, I'm sure. The question is the traffic study that they provide, are we requiring it to be big enough?
Right. That's a really interesting point.
Because the high school came, they did their own little study saying it didn't, I mean, it wasn't little, it was a pretty detailed, but it didn't go to the extents of the Northeast area traffic study. And it ended up saying, you know, no significant or not enough impact was made to warrant improving stuff. So anyway, when they did the Northeast area, it was a lot more comprehensive. It looked at everything and, you know, it attributed cost to every development in that whole area to bring up the whole area to what it needed to be in 30
years.
So
when an anchor comes in with development space around it, I mean, it could be a school, it could be a business, industry, something that
big
triggers
retail area.
That there's going to be further development. And so you can't just look at that one entity that's the anchor that's coming in. You have to look at the ramifications of that. And that's where the city may have to come in.
I feel like I want it to be the city that does it.
Right.
With input from the community and from the developers, but I almost want it to be the cities. They commission like the Northeast Area Plan, and
I do think that's more than roads. That could, because that's all infrastructure impact, you know, depending on its location, maybe not all, but most.
Well, I wonder, like, is the land trust, I forget what now, over at, what is it, in Sexton, Lakeland or Oak Towers or whatever, isn't that some of that, aren't they going to redevelop that lot there on the corner? And so, has the city looked at the implications of that area starts to regenerate?
I'm sure I wasn't at the meeting on Monday, but that was on the agenda, right, guys? That was.
That's the Oak Tower.
Yeah.
Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's CDBG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the city looking at like future redevelopment or implications from?
I'm trying to It's a pretty dense area right there. I'm not sure it would get anything probably more dense than what's there. But that is an open lot.
Well, I think it's some of those
had different
sort of run down areas, and wondering kind of if they own some of those for all privately owned. If you think about the area sort of taken off. And
yeah, what something like that might indicate is maybe adding a turn lane at a signal, or adding, you know, a right turn or a left pocket into a development or something. It's not probably going to be an overall massive. We have been asked to look at that area from a neighborhood calming standpoint, and Alexander in that area, but as far as a traffic study that determines what maybe infrastructure needs to be added.
Trace, I'd like to reconsider Mr. Clark's request to be recognized for a brief comment.
If it's brief.
Well, there were three things. When you're talking about major studies that I think you ought to recommend, one is to take the large area planning process and complete the whole city. It's not necessarily so much about the neighbors, and it's about documenting the features, the capacities, all these kind of things, so you end up having a base of trusted data. If you think of the city as four quarters or six areas, or more four quarters in a central city, that the staff talks about is 6.5 square miles. So I would recommend that you ask the city to complete that. You can look at some of this stuff in Missoula, Montana, where such studies become the trusted database for, and this was for both the city and the surrounding potentially developed area. So I would suggest that. I would suggest you follow up on Sid's thing and actually recommend the city establish a joint working group with the school board and the long-term facilities group there, so that the city is on and in all these meetings when they're talking about the sightings. All this stuff about who was going to pay for the infrastructure, it was a disaster. Having that kind of, rather than waiting for a trigger for development, mm-hmm. being there, the school board makes the final decision, but have city people in the meetings all the time pointing up, here are the infrastructure issue, here are these various kind of things.
You're aware, John, that the city actually has been pretty proactive in trying to engage with the school district, and that the success has been limited. So I agree that is a good recommendation, and I believe we have it on our list.
And quickly, the third thing, the neighborhood planning process came out of Imagine Columbia, along with the we need a comprehensive plan. It's for a half square mile, but in particular around transportation. If you're thinking about roads and streets, the appropriate thing for the central city, and that includes West Ashe as well as the little area, because I've been to all of those meetings, would be that 6.5 square miles. Because thinking about the roads, the intersections, all this kind of stuff on a half square mile area is frankly a joke. And that, in many ways, that's what people were upset about. So if we were doing those large area kind of things, along with that, documenting the road structures, the problems, and so forth, so that then when the neighborhood planning processes, which are smaller parts, come about, they have that as a background for thinking.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of number 11, I would propose that we table 11 to till when we talk about development fees and infrastructure costs generally? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so 12. What kind of partnership can we work with the DCID to cost share on street and sidewalk improvements downtown? And what is currently being done?
Where do they get money? DCID? What's their funding stream?
They have their own sales tax.
Yeah, they have their own sales.
Is it half cent? Or I'm not sure what it is.
Mm-hmm. What is done now, do you know? I mean, what is done now in the downtown area, the sidewalk?
Do they contribute with any infrastructure improvements you guys do downtown? No.
No, it's there's a policy resolution that we can do a 50-50 cost share with the property owner if the sidewalk's out of compliance to get a downtown standard developed. There's a lot of.
But as far as with the CID, no. You guys don't work with them formally?
And they've recently just had this money, so I don't know what their long-term plan is. They had a presentation at the council about it, but it didn't have much to do with infrastructure, more so than the beautification project.
Gateways and stuff mm-hmm. like that, yeah.
A chunk of change. When did they start that?
When did they start that? Two years ago?
Probably 2 years. Something passed.
I don't necessarily know if it's necessary to have any formal thing or make a recommendation, but yeah, they have money and they're I don't know, people are using downtown pedestrians and stuff. I don't know if it makes sense for them to want to contribute or if they see areas that need to be fixed themselves that they would want to. Maybe, yeah, cost share if they see areas they want to be improved or. I really didn't have anything in mind with that other than just curious.
Well, I think that it's totally appropriate to have downtown property owners partner in infrastructure improvements.
How was that half cent sales tax presented? I don't recall what they say they were going to use it for.
They use it for staffing. They use it for they do quite a bit of cleaning, right?
Banners.
A lot of like proponent for downtowns. They like go out of town and try to attract people through tourism and marketing and bring in new owners and. Be proponents for current owners and yeah, that kind of stuff.
So there was no expectation that they would use that money
for infrastructure.
Yeah. So.
Oh, right.
I think I'll just be silent on that. I mean, there's opportunity to come down the road, but I don't know that we can recommend anything.
I don't really see a recommendation.
I might vote to get rid of that, although I would love to have that money.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't identified originally for that, it's. As good as spent on space, right?
I've got it dexed off.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what downtown looks like, what the central city looks like this football season when downtown cleans and maintains and sort of facilitates football Saturdays and campus no longer has the resources to do that. And where that sort of pushes or moves where people mm-hmm. want to be.
Well, that's already done by the city anyway. I mean, once people leave the campus,
right.
So it's still people, private owners that clean up their area in downtown.
They
should clean them up.
Okay, so then 13, look at potential additional funding from property tax increase or the county road tax. Voice support for state fuel tax, which would incorporate local cost share programs. And I did see in the New York Times today that New Jersey is going to raise its gas tax. So it's not it's not impossible for states to do that.
There was a push in the Missouri state legislature to do this, and part of the message behind it was, you know, additional money for local cost share programs. I know there is a fundamental issue with fuel tax being that cars are getting more efficient and less gas is being used, but gas is still being used and it is still a relevant source of income. Although it might not be a long-term fix, it's still current or short-term, you know, valid source of income. I agree it shouldn't be the only way you do your long-range planning and funding based on, but I don't know. I think if you're paying for fuel, you should be paying some fee on it, which we are right now, but I feel like Missouri's was pretty low compared to the state, to the nation average, so I don't know. So that's where that was coming from when I wrote that.
Exactly what I was going to say, Kim.
Gas and cigarettes.
Uh-huh. And I don't know if that's is something like just, obviously, the city council doesn't have any authority other than, you know, to be a...
Can we add that in with...
write a letter of support if they wanted to, or, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if we agree on this, let alone if council agrees on it.
You capture the recommendation to pursue internet sales tax loss, if possible, if you know, I don't know if fuel's going to stay relatively stable, but, you know, as people move to, say, more natural gas or electric cars, is that fuel going to be taxed? It is somewhere. I mean, a city sells electric to charge up my electric bicycle, which I don't have one, but it did. I pay a pilot tax. So I pay a pilot tax, so I pay a pay-the-moon tax to charge up my electric vehicle. So they're going to collect a fee somewhere. Same thing with natural gas. If you're consuming natural gas as a fuel for your vehicle, it's going to get taxed somewhere.
Yeah, the energy has to come from somewhere,
right. Mm-hmm.
Regardless if it's gas or natural gas or electrical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it has the potential to be taxed.
Mm-hmm. I would not be in favor of an additional property tax increase.
I'd concur. I don't think the community would agree to that.
I don't think they would either.
Well, I generally think that...
There's two things there. One is the property tax levy to generate revenue to do the infrastructure, or is it the property tax increase to create revenue stream to pay bonds? Mm-hmm. And the thing that sits there, I don't know if we mentioned it before or not, but you know, like the city, based upon their assessed valuation, has the capacity to, under state law, to issue plus or minus $370 million in bonds. You'd have to have the property tax to support that,
can you pay that back through sales tax?
But you could use sales tax to pay the
bond. Or any other source
of income. To pay the bond. But
collateral per se.
But you still pledge that, make a pledge of ad valorem tax to support those. Anyway, the gist of it is that there's the city's at zero. They have a $370 million capacity, but they've never touched it. They used to, but they paid all those bonds off. But
did you recommend a bond, looking at bonds with the stormwater? Didn't we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that going to be one of our global recommendations?
Mm-hmm. But that's revenue. I mean, that'd be stormwater revenue to support the repayment.
Oh, right.
But we did, one time we did mention that, or did we mention that with a big transportation project,
mm-hmm.
that maybe
yes.
the that would be the source.
Like a 70-63 type project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be the source.
That would be the, have to be a source.
Yeah.
And then the property tax increase would be presented to the voters for a specific huge project everybody
correct.
Would be aware of and for a limited time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, pay the bonds and then it would disappear. Mm-hmm.
Do we have that on?
Who's, yeah, that's number seven.
Maintaining the global list here. Could we include that on a global list of, for all of the infrastructure we're looking at? And that's a
not
sales tax, but yeah, not just roads, but and this is specific to sales tax, but property tax.
I think we added that, we talked about adding or taking property tax off or sales tax off and just. What was the wording we changed it to, Greg? Didn't we edit the document? To
yeah, we took out a
warning. We were going to take out the 8-cent sales tax
yes.
or property
yeah,
tax.
Okay.
So my notes say that we were going to remove that.
All right, anything else on 13?
So are we making a recommendation out of the support for state fuel tax, but dropping off the rest of that? Is that my understanding?
Well, we do get a county. We do get county. About $2 million a year in county fuel tax.
Oh, okay. That's good. So just remove the property tax increase piece of
it? The thing about property tax is that if you put it up for another service like a public, like police, whatever, the funds that would fund that then could be freed up to do streets and other things like that. So
for like a special project of some sort? Or
except for a special project, which we talked about with yeah.
Okay. So, whoops. What are our next steps on this? Do we want to put all of the changes into a single document, including pull out things that move to the global recommendations,
mm-hmm.
and then have it as an agenda item in two meetings to sort of finalize? Are we
well, I
there?
Think there's global yeah. ones in every. I mean, we've done sewers, well, we've done the storm sewer, and now that roads, we need to pull out what's global in both of them.
Right.
Or at least highlight what's global.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finish the other two utilities, that we can bring them all together as a pool of globals.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So awesome. We may need to set aside some time for both, you know, to look over both, just not really discuss it at length, but at least. Highlight which ones are global.
Okay.
So that we can pull them into an overreaching document that would be. That's my thought, is like you have one document for the entire
mm-hmm.
global, and then you have specific sections for each of the specific categories.
Mm-hmm.
That we,
yeah.
That sound?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before we move on, at one point there were 14, 15, and 16,
yes.
and 17
yeah.
from Greg's
mm-hmm.
that aren't in
that,
this document.
That was just discussion items that we talked. We didn't go anywhere with them.
And 17, 18, 19, and 20.
I don't even have those.
I don't have 19 and 20.
I
have a
14
through
17. Yeah, I got those.
Four. Yeah, 14 through 17.
I have them. Should I put them in?
Oh, I've got them, yeah.
I'm
just
saved
it. I just have 14
no
through
17. I
must not
have
saved
that. Yeah. Several meetings ago, we suggested that we continue continuing discussions with Randy Carl and Mr. Rock about what they would support as far as developing things.
Well, I think we should talk about it ourselves.
Yeah.
First. And I've had people suggest a couple other names to add to that list.
To say that they're in support, at least not opposed?
Right. And I think that we have a set of decisions to make about do we want to do that as a conversation? Do we want them to react to documentation? Do we want to hold it as a public hearing so that anybody who wants to chime in can chime in? It makes me a little nervous to rely exclusively on the recommendations of an informal or unofficial.
I like the idea of a public hearing.
You like the idea of a public hearing. Yeah, and these are not mutually exclusive either, of course. So.
That way, then I'm ready to comment if you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Or you'd like to.
Right.
And then the people in there.
Right.
On one side or the other.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I would like to have what we come up with for a development recommendation, even if it's just a draft, and send it out to whoever's interested. And then they can respond to it, whether we do that by posting it somehow and waiting for their feedback if they want to provide formal feedback to us, letters or emails to the city, or if we want to do a public hearing and say, hey, come talk at this meeting.
Or both. I mean, is that possible? Do you know? Can a body like this put out something for written public comment?
Do you know? Put something out, a recommendation sheet, and then have the public comment on it.
Specifically, we're talking about development fees. Wanting to.
I don't know of any reason you couldn't.
Would we want that seriously to take that on? I envision a nightmare scenario with about 1,000.
I agree. We talked about recommending to council that they put together a smaller task force or committee to address this specific issue, because it's a big issue.
You're right. We have broken the development fee recommendation down from what we were trying to dive and drill down to get an exact answer. Mm-hmm. Now we're kind of pulling back and saying, hey, here's some rough thoughts. It needs to be looked at further. I don't know if we necessarily need to bring in all the developers. I mean, we aren't saying anything that is really.
It's been made very clear to me that that is in charge of this group.
Development fees.
Yeah. So we need.
So you think we're going to have to pursue that?
I do. I will confirm very explicitly again. But
yeah, unless we don't make that recommendation.
I was about to say. It's our purview to come up with what our recommendation is based on our research and. Mm-hmm. This is what we've came up with. It might not be as detailed as they want, but that's why we tell them either extend to this or hire or form a new task force, I guess. I personally don't see anything wrong with this being our recommendation or something similar, the one that we had.
That we kick the can, sort of?
Yeah.
Yeah, which.
I mean, I really wanted to get in and get something, but it's. Man, it's just going to be hard. Everybody has. I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough.
It will be hard.
It's going to take a lot. I feel like. Like, how far have we made it, and how much have we talked about it? We need to finish our whole thing without being bogged down on this one issue.
Right. Well, I do think that it makes some sense to sort of finish the what's a good word for it? For the recommendations around policy and decision making, and then think about development fees they are global in a sense. I mean, they combine together in how they're negotiated. I think it would be worth having an agenda item where we give ourselves plenty of time to think through the various scenarios for the process for addressing them in some detail, and then make a recommendation to council about how we want to handle that specific task. And we'll certainly consider the recommendations that have been made to date.
Can I get clarification? Because there are two issues with regard to development. One is the actual development fees that are charged per development, And then we've also had a lot of discussion about the separate negotiations that occur when a development is initiated and how much the city subsidizes versus, you know, kind of those negotiations. So are we literally just talking the fee, or are we talking kind of the whole process surrounding a new development?
The whole, well, I think we're talking about infrastructure costs generally and ways that we recover them, that we cover them.
Which would be the whole process.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we had a lot of discussions about both. Mm-hmm.
I think in the development fee touches on both of those. I mean, that's kind of what we're saying. You know, you've got these development fee that's not enough, and you've got negotiated fees that pick up the slack. We think there's a better way to make it more uniform or more predictable or whatever.
And then
we haven't came up with an exact way to do that yet. But.
And then the counter to that conversation is always about the public tax base and how we do those things as a community. So,
we need to redefine the problem.
And that goes to a public vote, right?
The fee itself?
Mm-hmm. What happens?
But
it was defeated?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah,
okay.
So I mean, I hate to.
The fee itself, but there are more.
Okay, let's define the problem first, or summarize what the problem is.
Or what the problem is.
Yeah. Okay, so the problem is that there's evidence that there is the cost for new development in terms of infrastructure that it appears that the city is paying more than their so-called fair share.
Unless you ask the developers.
Yeah,
I don't know if I agree with that statement.
Well, no, I'm just trying to grasp at defining the problem before we.
But I see where you're getting at. But I think it's a slight but a subtle difference. But I think the city's paying more than their fair share if you look at just what they collect from development fees and how much they spend on capital improvement projects themselves.
Yeah.
But there's all this whole other thing of developers building stuff that I don't know if it's taken, like if you're talking about Ian Thomas's report where he says.
Mm-hmm. Well, public perception is that the city's not, that the developers aren't paying their fair share.
But the city extracts a lot of money from the developers and they fix problems, but it's not a formal development fee. So it's
right.
Not, you're looking at a percentage of what they get from that development
right.
fee versus all they spend is a lot different than if you looked at all of the negotiated fees that are contributed to the city.
For instance, if you want to develop this piece of property,
I don't know if it's still enough, but it's quite a bit different.
You're responsible for the road improvements. You're responsible for the traffic light. You're responsible for all of these different components that the developer will actually pay for.
So I don't know if the percentage is that far off. Now, that's maybe just my opinion. I don't know if the percentage is that far off, but I think the problem is that it's unpredictable and it's unpredictable for the developers to know what they're going to have to do to develop. And you don't have a predictable stream of income from the city or know when improvements are going to be made if you rely on it's just whenever the developer builds on this property that problem will get fixed.
You almost have to have the ability to charge a fee, develop, or reserve, because one project may develop a large sum of fees that you only use a percentage of, which the developer's not going to like that all their funds were utilized because you're going to need it for another project. That's the challenge with the fee structure, is that not all projects are equal.
No.
And when you have the fees, some fees will be collected that won't be used on that project. It may be other areas of town or on another project. It has to go where the resources are needed. So it would eliminate, if not eliminate, at least significantly reduce the negotiation. But the city would need the latitude to invest the money where needed.
So one of the problems is we lack a clear policy on the distribution of development fees. Is that what I'm hearing?
No,
if you're a developer,
the,
sometimes it goes to the project that you're developing, and sometimes it goes
to the issue that we got was that there's too much negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Too much negotiation?
And
yes.
Not, and so they're not clear definition going into a a project on how much a developer would have to pay in order to build their project. If I'm not,
and it's not the fee. They can figure out how much the fee is going to be, but then it's, again, it's widening road, it's improving stormwater, it's relocating a water line to a different depth. It's all of these things that probably need to be done at some point, but what triggers it being done now as opposed to 5 years down the road is because this is when the development is occurring.
The 50 cents goes into our capital.
Right.
And so what Cody's talking about is if they have if somebody develops in the zone they've been given, the city cannot ask for any outside contributions for impacts. If there's a change in zone or an annexation, then that's when we say this development is going to have an impact to the infrastructure. We think this development needs to then account for those impacts. Those are the negotiations that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones. And those are very difficult because they come in on a case-by-case. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't even happen. Somebody could put something in a particular zone. It may have a lot of impact, but there's nothing the city can do about it. They just get a permit, and they're gone, and they're gone.
And that's another reason to increase the development fees.
Right, it's because there's the trigger for the negotiating.
But those development fees then, the way it's set up right now, they go into our CIP.
Mm-hmm.
We're using them on roads and everywhere in the city for our materials and collectors, but they're not used for that localized impact.
Right.
And so I just want to make the distinction. Mm-hmm. There's two different things that happen for that negotiation, and it's usually something, if somebody wants to change a zone to put something in, there's going to be an impact, and the city then tries for that developer to mitigate those impacts. And then we negotiate with their traffic engineer to say you need to add the turn lane, you need to put the center lane in, widen, add sidewalks, whatever, you know. So that's the negotiation, and it's very hard to corral that because every situation is totally different.
Right.
It's very difficult, and I don't know how to standardize that.
And it's an issue that goes in more than one direction. So, for example, from a neighborhood perspective, I've heard the argument many times that if you've got a bunch of higher zoning than you do actual use, like in neighborhoods, that it's impossible to extract improvements that are needed by adding a more dense project because they've already got the higher zoning, even though it doesn't reflect the actual use of the property in the area at all. So, you know, people end up with more traffic than what they perceive they should be dealing with and things like that.
So should there be a distinction in what we call these?
Yeah. It sounds like it.
We need to be specific. Development fee,
negotiation fees.
But I think this recommendation, it addresses both of those. The one, the draft that I written.
The development fee is
still think.
It's just what this is.
The infrastructure fee would almost replace the negotiated fee. I have a question on how you handle when the project is impacting existing infrastructure that has to be relocated because of the project. Does that development project pay for that relocation? Mm-hmm. That's not even part of that negotiated. That's because they're building right here and it's impacting this sewer line or this sidewalk or road.
Pretty much, that's right.
That project has to pay for the relocation of that.
Yes.
That utility or that infrastructure.
What happens particularly on like a sewer is in order to build their facility there, that easement has to be vacated. If you want the easement vacated, you're going to have to build a sewer in a new location
and a new easement.
Easement for
that's
it.
That's your trigger.
And then we don't need the easement any longer.
Yeah.
And that's...
So those are already captured. It's just really comes down to the development fee and then the infrastructure impact. Right now, most of the infrastructure impact, and correct me if I'm wrong, is being negotiated project per project.
Street improvements.
Street improvements.
For street. Mm-hmm. So do you have a tracking process for development fees and negotiated fees?
Development fee, it's in our 10-year CIP. You can find out where we spend those monies and on which projects.
Well, or just what you generate.
I'm
interested in what,
been generating about a $1.2 million a year in that 50 cents. It's just, and it's depending on the economy and construction. If construction's way down, we won't get near the amount of development revenue.
Sure. I'm thinking about what the ratio is for developments on average of negotiated to development fees. And if it looks differently for different kinds of development or different parts of the city, if it's redevelopment or new development, I mean, is that, I'm not asking you to do more work. I'm just wondering if that those are the kind of things you look at.
It's just like it's a case by case on each site specific impact.
You don't track. I think what you're trying to ask is, do you track how much you're getting from the developers? From a negotiated standpoint, for example,
I don't know that. No, I don't know either of those.
Okay. So, at a policy level, if a lot of people think that people don't pay enough development fees, enough if the developers don't pay enough for their development, not to confuse it with specific development fees, and developers have the perception that they're paying plenty or more than enough. How do we sort that out so that everybody's on the same page? That's what I'm trying to get to, so we can really have a conversation about what's a fair ratio of input.
Yeah. Let me think about that.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Well, before we get too far off our agenda for tonight, one, do we want to look at... make sure my slightly different documents are clear on this. 14 through 17.
Most of these are related to the development stuff that we're talking about, but sure. Number 14 okay. Specifically I wanted to bring up because we did talk about that a little bit, mm-hmm. And I personally think it sounded like a good idea for a recommendation.
I did too.
Which one was
it's yes,
recommended
this one.
The city establish a blanket okay. Consulting agreement for traffic studies with a 5-year term.
Right.
So say on call.
The city shall also establish criteria when a traffic study is necessary and the evaluation standards, and then who pays.
I also think we need to add to that that it needs to have public input on who the consulting, like how they go about having that agreement with the consulting group. Does that make sense?
Public input on the selection of that mm-hmm. consultant, so the community can come in and just ask questions. And
yes, precisely.
Well, but if we're establishing a blanket consulting agreement, haven't we already decided who our traffic study engineer is?
There's specific.
There's Brooks laws and things like that
on selecting professional selection occurs. We'd have to look at that as far as if it's feasible.
Yeah.
So it would only be, but. It seemed like in the discussion we were talking about, you would talk to the developers about who you would hire for the consulting group, but you wouldn't talk to the general public?
No.
I thought it was
if I understand what they were doing, Katrina, they would send out a request for a proposal to hire an on-call mm-hmm. traffic engineer. Do traffic studies.
And it would be something the development community and the city could live with, whoever they selected.
Well, they qualified. I mean, the city
qualification selection.
Yeah, they would select them, and then that resource would be used in the deliberations of assessing the impact of transportation.
Now, where the public could have input is in defining what the traffic study was going to cover.
Bingo.
Yeah, there you go.
So that the RFQ
that's
actually states what they're looking for.
Specifically, where the negotiations really come into play is the traffic study says this needs to be done. What cost of that improvement should be attributed to this development versus if it's an improvement that benefits 3 or 4 properties or a lot of properties? But it's already in need of repair, something that the traffic study says it needs to be fixed right now before this development can go. It seems there's that first come, first has to pay for the whole thing, which is typically how the city wants it to be done. But to me, it seems like it'd be more equitable if you could somehow attribute the cost to this development.
Future.
So, and I don't know if the if traffic
background growth, you know, because there's going to be natural things the city would just take care of whether that development came in.
Yeah, some formal objective thing. And I don't know if that's the place of the traffic study engineering?
Well, yeah, that's they use our models and find out where the what the traffic patterns are going to be. And if that development didn't get in, then in 5 years, we'd have to do something to the road anyway. So there would be some cost borne by the city. It wouldn't all be on the developer because there would have been that natural expectation the city would have taken care of that. So it's not all on the developer.
Yeah, so the percentage there is, yeah.
That's
the,
right.
Yeah.
And they use those tools.
That's so where the negotiations right. kind of come in.
And so also, do we want to address, and maybe I had a meeting with John Glasscock recently, and one of the things he mentioned that I hadn't understood, and maybe I still don't, so you can correct me, but is that currently, regardless of the scale of the development or the impact on existing road infrastructure, the developer can't be asked to pay for any of their impact on existing roads. They can only...
It's always been, unless somebody witnessed them tearing something up. But yeah, normal wear and tear, it's a gray area, you're right. It's
normal wear and tear on a is really different, I'm guessing, for a residential street or for something that moves huge trucks over roads
right.
mm-hmm. hundreds and hundreds of times for several years to build a big development.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Yeah, we've never really calculated what that is, so that would be a nice thing to know, to have.
From an engineering perspective, there must be a way to calculate
that. I would think we could do a volume-based...
be an educator.
Some kind of a volume-based calculation.
Yeah. Okay.
Or it's a condition assessment of the roadway ahead of the project starting and a condition assessment after to do an assessment how much damage was done during that time frame. Mm-hmm. And with the expectation that the developer would compensate to repair the road back to at least in-kind condition that it was started.
Right. So I'd like to...
This consultant, does everybody perceive that this would be an agent of the city to look over the shoulder of developers, traffic studies?
The thought was that this was a singular...
Do the studies.
So then you get into the whole question of who pays for...
We talked about the developer paying for them like they do now.
Yep, they do now. The city would pay direct.
Well, the city has selected them based on qualification... But then the actual negotiation for cost is directly between the developer and engineer.
So they
and
have
that's
to
the
use
talked
it.
About it before.
And then they have an option, the developer would have an option to bring in a third party traffic review if they disagree to state different position. You'd want them to have some latitude for...
I just have a question. What's the advantage to people operating the city to having that? Is there that much variation in traffic engineer studies?
Consistency.
So this would be beyond having a building.
Could have just said the traffic license. Engineer for the school said there's no impact.
No impact at all.
But the same one then did the next study.
It's who they work for and who pays them.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I mean, you'd like to say that it's not.
Shouldn't be.
It's defendable, but is it whose interests?
I think the challenge with all these things is they're so subjective. There's
yeah.
so much
it's not like
subjectivity
they were violating some law
thing,
or anything. It's just very subjective.
Depending on what assumptions you make about the people's behavior and use of the property and turning. And
nobody
so.
Has a crystal ball.
But I wonder if that's true. I mean, it seems like, nobody has a crystal ball, but it seems like we can know a lot about what typical patterns are and how to measure them and how they're likely to play out in a newer, different situation. I mean, we do that
all the time.
Yep.
The problem right now is you have several different traffic engineers doing several different studies, and if you don't like what one says, then you can find another one that'll have a little bit different interpretation. It's very subjective. I mean,
I think we're pretty consistent with what we're expecting.
Right.
But it just takes that negotiation and the back and forth. It may take months of those kinds of discussions.
You're real consistent, but you see some traffic studies that come in that you just sit there and say, are you kidding me, yeah. And there's no way that you can support what they say, and there's no way that you can.
We won't.
Right.
But with a consistent consultant, you could set criteria within that RFQ.
That's the thought.
And the agreement with it, so that everyone's using the same common criteria.
That's the thought.
I recognize, yeah, there's going to be some variances based on a case-by-case. But
if you have a consistent consultant with consistent criteria, you're going to get a lot closer to apples-to-apples than the random nature that you have right now.
And I would think that the city would be part of that process throughout that study. You know,
they have to provide information for those traffic engineers.
To sit through the review meetings and the study reports and review those.
And really, if it were there at the beginning, you could, at a concept review, go pretty close right now and understanding what would be the expectation of the development at that point. Mm-hmm. So there's not negotiation at the end. That saves a lot of time on everybody's part.
Mm-hmm. I do think that the comment about the RFQ having, it's probably more of an interest for the development community to have public input on that RFQ development than the general public. But you really probably need to open to everybody. Here's our draft. Please give us feedback and comment on the draft RFQ before we finalize it and do our interviews and selection. And would you entertain even having a small representation or representative from the development community in your interviews for the traffic consultant to give you feedback? It's still the city's decision on the choice.
No, I'd take the recommendation from this group right here. Is what that would be your recommendation to council. Okay. It's something that we would...
Well, you don't want to... You know, you don't want a room of 50 people.
No, we wouldn't get anything done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think then you run into the problem of who do you pick?
Right.
Who gets to give input and who doesn't? I think that's the problem you run into with that.
I've never done that scenario, so I don't know
how
that would work out.
Is there a city board or commission who would have someone who would have a membership appropriate to do that?
Well, the purchasing department would.
They're the ones that would do all the...
And they could...
Brooks Law.
And they could have the... Based upon what the group's thoughts were, they would make the final selection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been in ones involved at the university where we had a committee, but there was non-voting members on that committee for the selection. Mm-hmm. They were there to observe the process, give feedback on... the selection, but when it came down to say, okay, which of these three consultants do we want to discuss?
That's not unusual at MBU.
I think it's
doable.
Members from the PTAC, the disabilities, and the university for our transit consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I mean, something along those lines that would
non-voting, informed advice.
That's right. Doable.
You're just seeking input and advice, not really making them
ex officio.
Yes.
So that recommendation is just to be clear, is that...
Just needs to be refined a little bit. There.
Right. Ex officio members representing the development community, other affected parties possibly, be included in the selection process in an ex officio way for input.
Yep.
And then we're saying that would be that selected traffic engineer for a five-year period.
Or 3 year, whatever's determined, whatever.
If it was me, I always look how far I'm going to retire, and then I say I want to be through that term.
Yeah.
I would do it. I mean, I don't know what the city can do, but we do usually a base of 3 years
with
two, three 2 year renewables or 1 year renewables. So
that you can actually get out at three if you need to and reevaluate.
Correct. And you can extend if the relationship is still continuing and everything is working well. I mean, you always have the right to terminate any time.
You do, but it's easier, I think, if you've got that.
But I think that would be up to the city and how long, but at least a minimum of a 3 to 5 year term.
Keeping in mind that so many projects are, projects that we have in-house. Well, Battle High, that was in our office for, 7 years? I mean, it's not unusual for projects to... initiate and churn for 3, 5, 7, 9 years. So I think a 5-year term is not very long, considering.
Okay, other thoughts on this list? And my notes say that we're moving 15 through 17 over to the development fee discussion.
Yeah, those are all kind of just offshoots of the development fee.
Okay.
I have to go. Can I make one last comment on this? Mm-hmm. Dan French, back in 2004, testified about this very thing. He said, it's the council ultimately that's making these decisions on development agreements and things based on traffic studies required by the city, delivered by people who are hired by developers. The traffic study is part of the sales tool to get the council to buy the project, to allay thing, all this, within certain kind of parameters. There really is no fixed kind of thing. He's saying, you all need to hire these people yourself, because the council, you read these reports, you can't get the information that the council level in making a decision about the impact or the intensity or anything like that, from these reports written by the consultants. So the reason for doing it this way is that the city qualifies the person. The city is asking for the kind of information that its decision makers need. And then when you go out and hire consultants, they can do that. If you'd hired them, the council would have gotten the information they needed. Having the developer hire and pay just meant it was all skewed. The staff, as you say, you don't question and get into that. The council's at absolute seat. And it's been this way the 25 years I've been watching this. This is a fantastic proposal to include in your recommendation. This is, it's both about governance and about the substantive process and about getting good information to your decision makers. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the attachment of the letter that we sent to MoDOT. I'm not sure how much discussion.
How about 18, 19, and 20?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have that one.
Okay, just real quickly. 18 says the city continue with competitive grant funding to leverage additional funds for sidewalk construction to CDBG. 19 is the future of the city.
What's that one again? I didn't follow that.
Okay, the city continue with the competitive grant funding to leverage additional funds for sidewalk construction through CDBG.
Can you clarify that a little bit?
Community development block grant. Where they have
There's lots of, like this Oak Street is all, you know, they're using the CDBG to do the affordable housing.
Oh, sites are different. People
yeah, there's different people that ask for CDBG funding.
I see. Okay, right. That makes sense.
And they build sidewalks with it.
Well, we have when we ask for it. Yeah. We used to do streets, and that was after Hunt Street. We're not going to ask for a street again. But sidewalks seems to be.
You do okay with sidewalks?
A little less painful. So that's a good one.
Okay, 19, the future of the city's street maintenance program will rely on the pavement management program. The current plus or minus 60% allocation from the 1/2 cent transportation sales tax may not be sufficient to maintain a satisfactory feedback level from citizen surveys. It is recommended that the city council work with city staff to keep the pavement management program current and be the top priority for the transportation sales tax.
One of the problems of that is the MoDOT letter. I mean, because some of that money.
No, this is the right? This is yep. We split the transportation sales tax between airport, transit, and street maintenance.
Yeah,
those are the only three funding sources for that transportation sales tax. Okay. So I guess the question is, don't let it drop below a 60% contribution.
To streets.
Continues to always be that we have a viable pavement management program. because they've made such strides in developing the system.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying we don't want to have a nice airport pavement with potholes and corners?
Well, I'm all for making that a priority. It feels weird to say keep something at 60% when we're not looking at the other 40% as part of our charge.
Just say no less than.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I'm over all three, so I think,
you know. They say receive it at 60%. We're saying I agree it should be no less than. It could go up. We're fine with that.
Well, this was a part of the 2011 thing that we talked about. Less than. Didn't we already recommend that they not mess with that? As part of the 2011 task force?
You could say like current funding is the minimum required to continue with adequate pavement management program or something like that. That way we're not saying something indirectly about the funding for the other ones.
We wanted to maintain or increase the percentages for roads and sidewalks, right?
Yes, we did say that.
On
under
page three.
Mm-hmm. What did we say?
So I think that was just a duplication of what we've already said. Although we didn't include it as a formal recommendation, I suppose. We made a comment.
That's right. Yeah, it was a comment. It was an actual recommendation. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I guess it's written like it's a recommendation. You could just move it.
What was the comment you guys are talking about? I guess I don't know.
The 2011, when we made comments on the 2011 recommendations, the one that addressed the split
funding mechanisms, streets and sidewalks.
Yeah. We said that it wasn't within our scope to address the airport and bus system funding, but however, we recommend to council maintaining the percentages or increase the split to roads and sidewalks.
It says as much as possible. That's really good. I mean, what John is recommending is a more specific number than as much as possible.
As much as possible really doesn't mean much.
No, it's very relative.
As long as we give us a dollar. I like the giving that it should be less than current funding, which at this time is 60%.
Yeah, it needs. All right, then 20 is the MoDOT letter.
And 20 is the MoDOT letter.
And I'm not sure where these came from. they showed us.
Step up. Yeah.
But it looked like it was an edit. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think
mine looks like it's an edit, but it only goes to 17.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I believe that Carol circulated the MoDOT letter, and Kim did a lot of work on it when I was out of town, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have you heard anything?
Nothing good. Rumor is they're going to do what they're going to do. So, there were a lot of letters sent. We combined a joint letter with Jeff City, our mayors, opposing it. And from kind of what I'm hearing is just they're going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
So, I'm bracing for about a $350,000 deficit in capital spending.
Let's not make it easy on them to disregard us.
Has there been any news coverage on that? I mean, that's kind of a big deal for our town.
Right. It is. For their budget of, I don't know, 600 million, this is 8 million. That's all they're talking about, that they're pulling away from all small communities. And they're just creating such ill will from a lot of everybody but St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield. They're just not going to have it. Next time they go for a vote or something, and this is getting out that people are getting their funding away, that's not going to set well. And I just said for $8 million, you're going to...
So the public comment period has ended, right? So now where does it...
They have their... Highway Commission meeting is in St. Louis, July 8th, I think. Mm-hmm.
Not really in their defense, but it's my understanding that we have one of the lowest percentage... ratio funded departments of transportation in the country. And they've been just whacked. It's really.
They have the fifth largest transportation system, but the 49th lowest in revenue or something. It's ridiculous.
Missouri does. Well,
we don't pay for roads in Missouri. They haven't changed the gas tax since 92.
Right.
Six. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the legislature, they can do that, just a vote of legislature, raise it 2 cents without going to the people.
Right.
And they won't do that. So I see that, I get it, yeah. But it's...
Just keep a good set of tires on your car.
So if public, if the public input is ended, will they? I mean, is there a point to sending our letter at this point? Then
no, our letter went.
It's gone.
Oh, this letter went in.
Yeah,
we went in with the public input.
So what are we looking at this letter for?
I just wanted to have it in the...
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
No, I think we get to mark it off.
Right. It's mostly...
No, I like the letter. I just...
Included in
didn't mean
the,
to...
in the public record.
It's nice to do this.
You got enough to check that box.
Right. Right.
And we commend those that worked on it.
Yes,
that's right.
Good job.
Good job. Have a
thank you. Yep. Okay, so it is 20 till 9, and we went really, I mean, we went over 9 by quite a bit last week, so I want to get your input on how, what your time frame is for this evening. Because I think we have plenty of time to and we have taken staff people's time here, so I think we have plenty of time to finish up this sewer infrastructure presentation discussion. Give Dave any feedback or questions that
before we go there, do we have any other issues on the Sunshine Law? Are we all good on that? Because if we get to close that issue, then
yes, it
what
would
was remaining time on the sewer?
Great. So I just want to make sure, I think Jen was not here last week, so
I was not.
So there is this.
Did you ever get a new policy?
I have not gotten a copy of the new policy.
I understood that. Especially heard on the city council meeting. The city manager said that the meeting notice wouldn't be posted on the online calendar until the agenda was ready.
Till the what? The agenda was ready?
But notice this meeting was on online calendar last week. The agenda didn't appear until Monday, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, but the meeting of the 29th is not posted yet.
I don't know the answer to that, Bill.
I'd like to see them post the meeting notice as soon as the meeting is scheduled, which agenda added at least 24 hours prior to the meeting to comply with state law.
I agree. I mean, I personally agree that it makes sense to get meetings up as soon as we know we've got them. But
if we had the policy, we could comment on it.
Right.
If we knew the policy was.
Have you guys seen any official memo or recommendation in terms of changing that particular policy? No.
I think.
Oh, it's 24 hours to post the agenda.
I know they're working on a list of changes to policies for meeting agendas and posting and posting all this stuff. I don't think whatever I saw was finalized yet.
Okay. I'll check and see what it
is. I kind of got the impression they were trying to put something together and try to have it ready for it. By the end of June or the 1st of July, have something done.
Then will council need to act on that?
I don't really know. I'm assuming it will be published to them.
That's an update. That's an update to this document that they're working on?
Yes.
I suspect, yes.
Correct.
Okay. I don't know. I've never seen a final document yet. I know they're working on something.
Right.
But I think it may be in the draft as opposed to final draft.
And also informally, Nancy did mention that they were also working on, maybe we're saying the same thing, Bill, but a set of tools that would go to people when they joined boards and commissions and groups like this.
Yes.
So that those would be handed out. I think you should get them when you get your certificate. And
we
then
need to
there
be
you go. So other questions, we talked about the email communication between task force members and the postings. Is there anything else about the Sunshine open meetings rules that you have questions about or concerns?
Well,
Good here.
Okay.
All good or good.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody's aware that the audio recording from our meetings go up right away, mm-hmm. right online. So, okay. Okay. Sewer infrastructure issues.
So do we start by defining the issue?
Yes. Well, do we have any questions about the presentation or anything that came up last week?
I was wondering about funding and if you felt like you had enough, because that wasn't so much a part of it, the presentation, if there's a need for us to make recommendations about specific funding mechanisms you need and things like that, or...
If you look at that program that I was asking for some feedback on as far as developing a program based on asset management of our existing collection system, where we would try to go in and rehabilitate or replace some portion of the system every year forever, that would have to be funded, because the funding for what we're doing now is part of our ballot. 2013, and once those bonds are gone, this money that we're spending to rehabilitate 6 or 7 miles of sewer every year doesn't exist.
So when does that money run out?
We sold the first bonds in 14. I'm going to guess it's going to run out about 19.
I think it'd be good if you came at a subsequent meeting, at least show, we talked about your CA. CFP.
Printed it out. And I was going to identify those.
And then, kind of where that cash flow is with that. And it'd be useful to know that, we've got this bond issue that runs out. There's no source of income after that to address
that piece. And then, really, of course, 19 other things are more appropriate to be bond funded, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. If we're going to do a upgrade at the plant or a regional pump station, something like that, that makes sense to bond fund that, borrow that money. And then let current and future ratepayers pay for it. But if we're talking about replacing a sewer main on Ash Street, we don't need to borrow money if we're going to be doing that replacement every year, just in a different area of town. But I did get the CFP and I printed it out, and I was going to identify some of that stuff you asked for last time. But following a pre-council meeting on Monday, we modified the CIP and it's updated, and I don't have the current version yet. But I'll bring that with me at the next.
But I would be interested in hearing your recommendation too. Like you said, how much, is it linear feet or is it, whatever quantity that you think is appropriate to invest, not dollars, just
feet
of pipe that should be renewed annually to keep the system whole. In other words, if we don't do it, then we're going to have to. It's going to be much more costly because we're going to continue to have failures.
And you end up with a lot larger amount that's eventually going to have to be done at all at one time.
And we'll be dealing with it on an emergency basis, not on a plan.
On a regular, yes, sir.
Update.
I would anticipate right now with what I've done in the past, I think my presentation said we had 700 plus or minus miles of sewer pipe. I was actually asked, I had to figure it up again. We had 707 miles at the end of at the beginning of this fiscal year. So to me, if these things are only probably going to last for around 100 years, it seems like we need to be doing at least 7 miles
per year.
Every year. Mm-hmm. And it actually needs to escalate.
The system will grow.
Right.
And, sewer gets added every year, so that would need to escalate each year as time moves forward.
7 miles. It sounded like, and I'm hopefully I'm not mixing it up, you said, the last 3 years, at the rate you're going, 110 years to replace.
That's the average of the last 3 years would have been a 110-year replacement time frame.
So the money you're getting and the amount of line you're fixing the last 3 years seems like it's almost right in the pocket of where you need to be.
So you're really asking for 1% of your total asset annually in renewal.
Of the collection system.
Yeah,
separate from the correct plans for the pump station.
So whatever the length of it is, I mean, if the asset's 800, it's going to be 8 feet that, yeah. eight miles that year. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're asking for 1% of the linear collector system.
I mean, to me, that sounds
and that's
like
based on a 100-year life of the system.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable approach to me to try to keep up with the system that's on. It's supposed to last about 100 years.
And you're suggesting that a bond issue is not the way to do that, or that it is?
I think it's not.
It's not.
In my opinion. Okay. And the reason I say that is if you truly did a program like this and you did replace 7 miles of sewer every year, why do you want to borrow money and pay it off over 30 years if you're going to borrow money every year to do it?
Well, if we don't do it, we will have to bond and do major replacement.
Yeah.
If you do as you suggest, which I think it's a good idea, is to take just bite it off. You know, like, say, how do you eat an elephant? A bite at a time, because that's basically what we're doing. We're going to take a nibble at it every year and try to catch up.
I can do a little better job of coming up with the current dollar amount that would be needed for that, but I'm thinking it's going to be around $3 million annually.
Okay.
But the revenue stream would come in through sewer rate.
And so it would have to apply towards some sort of a rate. You know, they'd have to come out of sewer rates and... So, I mean, it could be something that could be phased in over time, but that's what it's for, you know, and say, well, we need a total rate increase of X percent, but we're going to do it over
several years, to
3 or 4 years to get it there. And it's, I'm trying to remember what that $3 million would be as a rate change. I calculated it once, and I have to do it again, but it's not under as bad as you might think. If you phase it in over time.
What's the process for increasing rates?
It's done annually, if it's done, with part of the budget process.
Who approves it?
And the council. And the council's the final say. It doesn't have to...
That's correct. Now, if we do a bond issue, when we speak with the information is provided to the citizens, and we'll speak to the Qantas Club or whatever... Mm-hmm. You know, we figure what the rate increases will be if the bonds are approved and all sold and everything. And so those people know at the time the bonds are approved, that the anticipated deal. But then if we have an operational rate increase, that's done by council.
Okay. Additional indebtedness to the utility is a voted item, but all the rate increases, even to pay back the bonds, are council voted items.
I mean, I think if we did a program like this, which I think is really just needs to be done. You know, it wouldn't be just something we stick in the budget, 3% rate increase for the next 3 years for this. I mean, it wouldn't be something that needs to be brought up, pointed out, let people have a chance to talk about it, because it's...
Well, that in kind, do you...
It offsets the need for bonds in the future.
Right.
Do you have enough information in your inspections and asset management to identify the worst areas that are going to be hit first? They're going to be attacked, because it's not like, I mean, because each year...
Not 100%, but we have...
Each year you have to look at what, and project what you're going to do the next year based on the condition of the system.
We've got enough right now that we could probably do several years out. We wouldn't have any trouble keeping up.
Well, I think it's a selling point, because even though it goes to council, people are going to comment and
Have
input on rate increases that... Here is the areas that are in the very deteriorated condition, and this is our focus area in the beginning we implement this program.
I mean, one of the questions Bill asked at the last meeting was, or I think Bill did, how much of the system's clay tile?
That's right.
Which is the worst system components? And using our math, figuring out how much clay pipe has not been lined, and then if we didn't know what pipe was, but what identified, we just assumed it was clay, because that means it's old enough, we probably was. We got about 205 miles, so that'd be your first section right there.
Divided by 7.
205 by 700.
That
up a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
That doesn't count the parts that have already been lined. If it's been lined, we didn't count, the footage.
You're considering
so there still need to be replaced.
The ones that have been lined. Still need to be replaced, but that's...
That would be the last pieces right, to be right, replaced. Right.
And it doesn't bring them back to 100-year cycle.
Well, somewhere close to
this. Oh, when they're aligned, it does? Okay.
Should it somewhere okay. close to that? I mean, the verdict's out because it's not.
You haven't been 100 years, yeah.
Right, but I do think that you could be considered, you may want to not define it so tight that it's replacement. It's just replacements or renovations of. So that way, if you find a section of line that, hey, we line this, we're going to buy ourselves another 30 years, let's do that versus replace it. I mean, that's the decisions you make now with your CIP. I assume you make those decisions.
Yeah, but and the program, it's replacement or rehabilitation. Because some lines you can't line, you're going to have to dig them up.
Right.
And some, you know, it just, the cost of replacing them is just so great that you'd be better off lining right. it.
Five times.
Yeah,
instead.
So it's replacement or renovation of the systems.
Yeah. Whether it's lining or pipe bursting or excavation and replacement.
I'd like to look at ways to raise revenue by $3 million a year without increasing rates.
There's no way to do that I know of.
Stick around.
Somebody's got to pay some more.
Well,
somebody has to pay more, and that's a rate
without,
increase.
Somebody needs to pay who's not currently
about the
paying.
Mustering survey.
You just take it from somebody else. Just take it from somebody else.
I've recommended if I take that transportation sales tax thing, yeah. And we divert.
Parks aren't here. Yeah.
I mean, somebody's going to have to pay more in order to get an additional 3
Well, without raising the base or the volume charge.
If you can find a way to do it, that'd be something you could recommend to offset the need.
I'll show you.
I mean, it's things on the table, Bill.
At least $3 million.
Huh?
At least $3 million.
So what is this?
Yeah. It's all of the people who aren't currently paying, or?
I've got a written recommendation.
Is it in the current draft?
Well, I haven't got a copy of mine tonight, but.
Okay.
Bring it to the next meeting.
All right, so we will put that.
One other question you had, Bill, was how many points of connection do we have with the sewer district? The best we determined, and I had a guy that hasn't been working with this map do this, is 58 points of connection.
That's the 20-year agreement?
There's 58 different locations where sewer district ties in the city.
And there's a 20-year agreement for each one of them?
No, there's not 58 different agreements. I mean, if this subdivision hooks up, it might connect in three different locations.
Well, it's single
agreement. But all the facilities that are connected are covered by agreement.
Is that a lot or a little?
Well, it's really
I don't think it's that many.
Could you tell me how many agreements are?
Okay. But see, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, they took a bunch of the old agreements and they consolidated them all into one.
So what happens when an agreement ends? Then it becomes the city's?
Or
you renew it?
It has to be renegotiated. And then at any time, what has happened with the last couple of areas where they've come under an agreement, we just amended the previous agreement. So that we didn't have another agreement, was just all put back into the same agreement.
Okay. Long-term wise, that it thought is that basically those 58 separate connections will be there. You're going to have those for ever.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be very likely that we would disconnect the
right.
sewer district
Do
and
it.
Tell them to build a treatment facility
right.
that they removed.
So they're a done deal. They're
but they could get annexed in and then would be.
But are some of them already
still
annexed
be part
property?
Of the sewer district?
And some of them are annexed property inside the city limits, and some of them are.
Yeah, some of them are already annexed.
Are outside the city limits. Some of the customers that they'll have legal agreements are set up now. Some of the customers that the sewer district will be inside the city limits.
Okay.
They're not all the same.
Okay.
I'd be interested in hearing how your revenue
is increasing your rate revenue compared to population growth? Are you seeing that greater, and really, and get to his point about throughput, is if more and more people are putting in high efficiency toilets and, I mean, disposing less, are we seeing that the rate's not growing as fast as the population, or is it leveling out, or?
I have to just get the history on it. Off the top of my head, I don't have it.
Because you pay a base flow, plus you pay a base plus flow, so if the flow is
flow,
if people are using lower water consuming devices, then you know, should
plant flow over time has not doubled with the population doubled.
So that tells me that people are becoming more efficient in the use of water.
I think I attribute that more to the low flow toilets, low fixtures, higher efficiency washing machines.
Right. So long term, will there be not a short term issue, but a long term issue? Will there be insufficient rate to help cover the utility? In other words, rates would have to continue to rise up, or the base would have to increase in order to cover that efficiency change over time.
We don't want to disincentivize water efficiency.
I'm just saying, but that could be a potential loss of rate income over time.
Well, the other factor that gets brought into there, you add 700 new connections every year.
We're at around 600-700 a year.
Yeah. But,
and the other thing that kind of come into play on that too is that I think that before long, all those fixtures that weren't low flow fixtures will all be low flow fixtures, mm-hmm. and I don't right. really see that a lot of them are going to be reduced further.
Right, it'll plateau.
It's going to plateau.
Yeah. It'll level.
Yeah, it'll level.
Because, I mean, the wastewater plant volume, and I don't have the exact figures, but it, you know, the town's doubled in size since I've been here.
But since
I moved to town, not since I've worked.
But that gets, confused, because the rate's based on the winter quarter method. And by using the winter quarter method, you're using the lowest
residential rate.
Pardon?
Residential rate.
Yeah, you're using
commercial rates, actual.
Actual, but you're using the low flow months.
But the sewer flow from residential should be relatively the same in the summer or the winter. Because it's the winter months, you're not doing irrigation or washing your car out in the backyard. So that's the reason the winter months are used is to not pay a sewer volume charge on water that's getting
dumped
on your flowers, whatever.
Do you have any feel for how many old sewer systems are still taking in storm water when those systems used to be combined? So you still have a pretty significant amount of storm water volume that gets treated?
Yes.
Our systems
were not combined systems intentionally.
Right.
not like other communities. Mm-hmm. You have a pipe, one pipe,
right.
and it all went through there. The wastewater plant, and then when it rained, there was a weir down here, and when it got that high, it goes to the creek, and the rest went to the plant. But the entire system has areas that take on storm water in it. The first study I know about was in the late 60s. They did the smoke testing and survey of the whole sewer system in the 70s and identified 47 million gallons a day of extra flow then.
Okay.
And the city just has chosen not to really do anything about it until recently. But our average flow complaints around 15 million gallons a day per average per year. It varies 14 to 17, depending on whether it's wet or dry year. Maximum they push through there 66 to 68 million gallons in a single day.
Did you ever figure out what the ion problem was in Thornbrook?
I got a question about your flow, since they've stayed relatively stable over the past 20 years or whatever. I'm just slight increases, not nearly as dramatic as the population increases. So is the flow that gets to your plant like a lot more concentrated? Is it a lot more expensive to treat that flow now that, you know, you have so much more houses, so much more waste, but it's less total volume? I'm just curious.
A biological process, and you can adjust the return sludge versus waste sludge, and so
the concentration.
More concentrated, you get a little more bugs in there to eat it, and it just.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to be a huge change in cost. Not enough that you'd see.
Well, I would have expected you would have seen it if it was in the past 20 years.
Right.
Do you tell in your presentation how much how much stormwater you're treating? I mean, you obviously know what your day-to-day throughput is on a non-raining period.
I just said that.
Oh, sorry.
I was just saying that on a normal day, it's around 15 gallons a day.
Okay.
And 14 to 16, depending, average per year, depending on drought year or wet year.
Okay.
And we've pushed as much, I can't remember if the peak day was 66 or 68.
We do on an annual basis, that's you know what that roughly would, is it on a percentage, is it represent 10%, 15%, 20%, I mean, how much is it?
I could look that up. I've got that data.
What was the significance of that day?
You missed the presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay.
It
was a good one.
We've made some modifications at the plant with some impellers and pumps, and then changed the VFDs, and then changed the procedures, and now we can actually operate these pumps the way they should have been able to have been operated when they were originally installed. And so we've recently been able to pump more water to plant than we've ever been able to pump. Where in the past, they get up 40, 50 million gallons a day, and that was it. And so we've been pumping. We've only had four rains that we could do it in so far, but we were able to pump at rates of 72 million gallons a day.
Wow.
At a set rate for an extended period of time, and we've had some peak periods where we got up to 80 for a very brief period. But I think our highest day then was 66 or 68, and that was within the past year, since last July 15th. And then we still had some overflows on each of those vents, so there was still water unaccounted for there that didn't escape the system and go in the creek.
When you say for a set period of time, like how much time or roughly? Is it like an hour? Is it half a day? 15 minutes?
It was pretty short, probably less than an hour.
So, and deciding.
But it depends on when you.
When you turn
thing,
it on?
Yeah,
you do it?
That's the thing that's the tricky piece on this is on some of this stuff, you're only going to be able to use it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so when do you flip the switch? And if I can get that other lagoon tied in, where that'll take our pumping ability up by another 20 million gallons a day. I'm sorry. I thought I'd turn that off. We'll go up by another 20 million gallons a day. We could pump into it for up to 12 hours. So then that, when do you flip the switch, goes away. Because you can flip the switch and then you got 12 hours.
Yeah.
And these peaks, the sharp peak that we see that really inundates us doesn't last that long. But then we have long duration problems. I mean, I've actually calculated the flow rate coming into the plant at over 130 million gallons a day before. And that's something that right now at 70 million gallons, 72 million, we can't keep up with. I've actually got the sheets that are sitting on my desk when I did this. It's like, at this rate, we'll overflow the manholes right outside the plant in 4 hours. Then I do it again, the next one says overflows will start in 2 hours. And then we ended up catching it.
Are there other questions?
Did you ever get hold of Tom Radlin?
I did, and he will be here next week. I'm actually meeting with him at 9 in the morning to go over our discussion with him. So if anybody has, I've got my notes from our last discussion about that, but if anybody thought of anything else they'd like him to address, please shoot it to me tonight. For next time, Tom will be here, and I'm thinking about having him prepare for about an hour's worth of discussion, and then we can come back to this discussion regarding recommendations for the sewer piece, including thinking about funding issues. We need to set some July meeting dates.
How are you meeting scheduled in July, right?
So far we do not, but let's...
I didn't see any yellow.
No, we don't. I know.
Is there...
I'm trying to think how we can do that. Seems like...
Not by email.
Not by email as a group. We can, yeah.
Well, I'd rather everybody bring their calendars with them.
Bring their calendars. I think Jen's not going to be able to be here.
I won't be here next week.
So, just real quickly, it seems like Wednesdays have been a pretty good day, except for you. Is your calendar going to clear up any for July?
I like alternate personally, like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Wednesday,
just where I mean, I don't mind Wednesdays, but I also sometimes have Wednesday stuff too. So
okay,
but
Wednesday the 20th.
Day by day.
Well, how about we do this, and I will send Tony an email about this too. Between now and next Wednesday, people could send me their availabilities on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays in July, and I'll put together a. A calendar of availability.
Before next week?
If it's possible, before the 29th, that would be great.
Available days to meet.
Available dates for those week, for those weekdays.
Just in July?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You want to do August too?
Okay. Wait a minute. Go through that one more time.
So for Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for July and August, if you could send me your availability.
Yeah.
Challenge with August is we don't have any information on school activity. When you have three teenagers, that's kind of hard.
That's, yeah.
So, I mean, I can say it's just like these dates.
Well,
I agreed to these dates, but
I don't know if there are, if this group has discussed meeting times other than evening.
We originally did.
Yeah, we originally did. Matter.
I'm sorry.
We haven't met other evenings, but
we haven't met
discussed
other than evenings. I have a very flexible schedule for things like that. The only downside to not doing evening meetings is that it excludes public participation of people who have less control over their schedules. So
like we've had a lot. We haven't had much.
Right.
And not knowing how long they're going to go, you know.
Yeah.
Some
right.
folks would be hard
I
to...
I do know that when...
Yeah.
I talk about
day
the day. Mm-hmm.
Granted, we don't have Chris or Mayor McDavid anymore, but when I talked to both of them, I'm on the phone, they had suggested they would be probably morning meetings. And so, okay. I can do that.
Okay.
But... Then I think when there was more discussion, it was determined evenings work better.
The downside of a daytime meeting outside of everybody's work responsibilities is the public can't generally come in.
That's what I was, trying to say. Is it's harder for people who don't have control over their own schedules. So, okay. So it sounds like we're going to try and stick to evening. All right, so anything else for the good of the cause?
So you went July and August right now?
Yeah.
So Tracy, speaking to the group, is there any more need to have a staff presentation to create our best understanding of the finances of the sewer utility? And by that I mean to, you know, review the, whether it's to review the fiscal year 2015 actuals or go through the 2016 budget to show how the cash flow is currently and the debt structure. And
I'd be interested in seeing
I think
and
that
the CFP.
We're going to make recommendations that will cost people money that we should make them based on as much awareness of fact as possible.
Yeah.
So, yes. Right.
Income and expenses.
Yeah. And then the current debt structure and then how the CIP is working.
Mm-hmm. So let's Well, let's. I can communicate with you about the best way and who to involve in doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, probably when you get your July schedule, we would take a look at setting a day in July, because I think some finance folks would need to get either the, from the utility finance perspective or possibly the finance, mostly utility finance folks.
Right.
We need to drag in.
Sounds great.
It would be in addition to.
Right.
Not to get ahead of the schedule, but would it make sense to do the two rate funded utilities at the same time if we're going to bring the finance people in? So we don't have to bring them in twice.
Yeah.
So which
would we want to look at the electric overview at the same time we look at the sewer overview? So we're not bringing all the finance people into another meeting at a different time, or is that going to get the cart ahead of the horse for the electric?
Probably my recommendation would be to keep them separate because they're really separate funds.
Okay.
I mean, there's really no mingling of funds back and forth. They're all dedicated funds and dedicated.
I'm just thinking about the staff time and the finance group.
You might have a really long meeting if you put them both together.
Good points.
We can always look at the schedule and see if it works good that way.
Okay. Very good. All right.
Here we go.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Thank you very much. All right.
Here we go.